If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Now, that book is just right after Jeremiah. So if you go to Jeremiah, the next book will be Lamentations. And we're coming to verse 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And I will read verses 22 down to verse 25. Lamentations chapter 3, reading at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. The book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah as he wept over the city of Jerusalem following its desolation and captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. That for that reason, the word or the name Lamentations means to mourn or to weep. Therefore, what we have before us in the book of Lamentations are the lamentations of Jeremiah, a series of laments, songs of weeping. Through this little book, we learn of Jeremiah's tears for the city of Jerusalem and for the people. Of course, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, and the book of Jeremiah and also Lamentations together bring about that very description. Jeremiah was burdened for the people that he ministered to. Yet, as he faithfully brought forth the word of God, the people refused and rejected the message that he delivered. Yet his preaching pictured that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as Jeremiah delivered the word of God, just as Jeremiah was a prophet sent of God, and he was despised and rejected of his own, so we learn the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet of God sent forth to speak the word of God concerning salvation, his ministry was rejected. He was despised and forsaken. Again, just as Jeremiah wept over the city and the people rejecting the message, so we read of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, when the Savior said, as he looked over the city of Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The people, they refused the Lord. They rejected the message of salvation. And so that is the occasion, the same mindset that Jeremiah finds himself in as he brings forth the message of God. It's despair, there is rejection, yet Jeremiah hopes in the word of God because Jeremiah considered the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah understood that God, in permitting his people to be taken into Babylon, that God would remain faithful and bring them out again after 70 years were accomplished to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and its temple. Jeremiah held on to the word of God. He held on to the person of God that he worshipped, his very nature, his very being. And Jeremiah knew he worshipped one who is faithful. Jeremiah then understood that because God is faithful, God had not finished with his people. While God permitted them to be taken into Babylon, while God permitted this trial, yet God promised that after 70 years be accomplished, he would bring them out. And we know the story. We can look back and read through the Bible, and we can see how God was faithful, and God kept his promise, and God brought them out, and brought them back again. And we learn again, even in a future day, how God again, in the rebuilding of the temple and bringing the people back. Jeremiah writes in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." The word faithfulness, or the word faithful, means to stay or to support. And so it is the idea of trust. And Jeremiah is basically stating, when he says that God is faithful, or great is thy faithfulness, he's basically saying, Lord, I can trust you in all your works, in all your ways, concerning your word. I can trust you because you are my support. You are my stay. I rest upon you. I depend upon you. Everything that you said you're going to do, everything you said that you will do, I will trust in you. I will depend upon you. You are faithful. And because you're faithful, we will not be consumed. We will not be utterly cut off, because you are faithful. And that's a wonderful thought to think about. And so, child of God, you can apply that to your life as well. You can trust in God because he is faithful to you. God is faithful, and God will perfect that which concerneth you. And so as we come tonight to think in our study in the doctrine of God, to the thought of the faithfulness of God, the characteristic or the attribute of faithfulness is what is termed as a communicable attribute. That means that God communicates this attribute, this characteristic of faithfulness to his people, to his creation, in a limited manner. In other words, we are not eternally, infinitely, and unchangeably faithful, because we fail every day. We go back on our word. And so we are not eternally, infinitely, and unchangeably faithful. But God has given us this attribute in a lesser manner, in a sense, in our finite position, where we are enabled by grace, through the help of the Spirit, day by day, to strive to be faithful to the Lord and to honor the Lord in all his ways. And so while today I may have been unfaithful, yet by God's grace, he enables me by the Spirit to grow in grace and strive to be more faithful in prayer, more faithful in Bible reading, more faithful in attending the house of God, more faithful in service to him. So as we think tonight of the faithfulness of God, I have three simple thoughts. And really, again, as we've gone through this study, you'll find the first 2 points will mainly be just sub-points with a Bible verse, a phrase and a Bible verse, because we want God's word to speak for itself. We want God to speak here for himself. Notice, first of all, the faithfulness of God is seen concerning his person. Jeremiah said of the Lord, "Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies. His compassions fail not." And so Jeremiah is speaking about the Lord. The essence or the nature of God's faithfulness is that God is essentially, God is absolutely faithful. I want you to grasp that. God can never be unfaithful. He is absolutely and essentially faithful. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." And so faithfulness is the very being of God. His nature is characterized by faithfulness. Without faithfulness, God would not be God. And like any of God's attributes, like any of God's characteristics that express his very nature, that declare who God is, we learn that God is faithful. That means when Jeremiah states, "Great is thy faithfulness," he is saying this: God's faithfulness is incomparable. There's nothing, no one who is faithful like God. Again, Psalm 89, verse 8. O Lord of hosts, who is strong? Who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or thy faithfulness round about thee? So God's faithfulness is incomparable. There's no one who can compare to the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. God's faithfulness is eternal. Again, Psalm 119, verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. God's faithfulness is infinite. Means it's unbounded. It's not restricted. There's no limits. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Again, God's faithfulness is immutable. That means unchanging. God cannot change. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. He abideth faithful. So God's faithfulness extends to all his attributes. For instance, he is holy, infinitely, and unchangeably faithful in his love, holiness, justice, goodness, truthfulness, wrath, righteousness, mercy, and grace. The faithfulness of God is revealed, therefore, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and men. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul said, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen." That is, all the promises by God as to what Messiah would be in his person to work, he is, and his work is faithful. Again, Revelation 1, verse 5, he is called the faithful witness. He is our faithful prophet, our faithful priest, and our faithful king. Again, our faithful prophet. And then also, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, Christ is our faithful high priest. Notice, faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Again, he is our faithful king. Revelation 19, verse 13, Christ is called the faithful and true. Verse 16, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as we think of Christ as our mediator, God has revealed his faithfulness through his beloved Son. And we've seen his faithfulness in that he is our faithful prophet, our faithful priest, and our faithful king. He will always tell us the word of God, the way of salvation. He will always be faithful in his prayers for his people. And he will always be faithful in defending his people and conquering all his and our enemies. That's why Peter could write in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, that believers commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You see, God is not depending upon my faithfulness for entrance into heaven. Rather, I'm depending on his faithfulness for entrance into heaven. I'm trusting, I'm depending upon him for life, for death, and for eternity. Christ is the hope that is set before us. God has revealed himself through his beloved Son. Therefore, as we think of God's faithfulness, and as Jeremiah thinks of God's faithfulness, he thinks of God's faithfulness concerning his person, who he is. I serve one who is faithful, and he is faithful that he is eternal, infinite, unchanging. He is faithful in all his attributes. God can never be anything other than faithful. Otherwise, he would not be God. God will never fail you. God will never be unfaithful to you. He will never be untrue to you. Otherwise, he would not be God. And so that's a wonderful thought Jeremiah holds on to in such a testing time, in such a troublesome time, when things were happening in the nation and he just couldn't grasp it. Yet he could depend upon his God and know, great is thy faithfulness. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. God has not finished with his people. But notice secondly, the faithfulness of God is seen concerning his people. Again, Jeremiah said concerning the Lord's people, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so day by day, God never fails his people. God never failed Jeremiah. Jeremiah failed the Lord. Jeremiah failed the people. The people failed Jeremiah. But the Lord never failed Jeremiah. And dear child of God, you may fail. You may fail others. You may fail at things. You will fail the Lord. But the Lord will never fail you. We always must grasp that. Notice some simple thoughts. Again, just taking a phrase and a Bible reference. As we think of God's faithfulness concerning his people. God is faithful in forgiving and cleansing the sin of his people. Have you ever thought about that? We feel the Lord every day. And yet God is faithful to us in forgiving and cleansing our sin. What did he say? John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins. Now we looked at that on Sunday, didn't we? When we thought about the word confess. When we thought about the word relating to the exaltation of Christ. But this word confess, it means to say the same thing. And so if we confess our sins, in other words, if we say the same thing about our sins as God does, our sin is a transgression. It's a violation against his law. It's an offense to him. It's missing the mark. It's coming short of the glow of God's glory. If we confess our sin, if I say the same thing about my sin that God does, it grieves him. He is, what's the word? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We sin against God, not just every day, but every hour of the day. We sin every half an hour. We sin every 10 minutes. We sin every 5 minutes. We sin during church services. We sin even right now. Whenever we have a thought, a wrong thought, we sin. And yet the Lord's faithful to forgive us. If you ask for that sin to be forgiven, to be cleansed, he is faithful. He doesn't say, you know what? You said that half an hour ago, and see, this time I'm not doing it. No, he's faithful. He will never go back on his word. You confess that sin, and I will cleanse you, because that restores fellowship. Again, God is faithful in delivering his people in times of temptation. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And so God will not give you more than you can handle. But in that temptation, he is faithful. You call upon him and he will make a way of escape. Notice also, God is faithful in preserving his people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, God is faithful in protecting and strengthening his people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God is faithful. Now notice this. When it comes to the afflictions of his people, even in afflicting his people and permitting affliction, God remains faithful. Every joy and every trial is sent from above by God's faithfulness. God, in afflicting his people or permitting some affliction, some trouble, some trial in their life, does so at times to correct us, to chastise us due to sin, to the proudness of our heart. Remember, this was the scene in Jeremiah's day. The people rebelled against the Lord. And so the Lord chastised them by sending them into captivity. But in that, God was faithful because God preserved them, God strengthened them, God gave them a word to hold on to that he would bring them back. And so when God permits something in our life, an affliction, a trouble, God is faithful. Why? Because while God chastises us, yet he is faithful to restore us, to cleanse us, to purge us. God doesn't chastise us in order for us to be thrown into a corner, never to be used again or to speak to him again. Rather, God chastises us to restore us again to him, to call upon him, Lord, thou hast afflicted thy servant, forgive me of my sin. Again, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so chastisement is an evidence of God's love. Now, we may not see it that way, but that's the way to chastise. It's to do it in love. It's to evidence love. The Lord does so, chastises us to draw us back into fellowship with himself. How do we know this? Well, remember David in Psalm 119, when David had sinned, when David had got away from the Lord. Notice David said in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. He said in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. In other words, when David had wandered away, gone astray, the Lord chastised him, the Lord afflicted him, permitted something in his life that drew David back to the word of God. And anything that God does to draw you back to scripture, to draw you back to prayer, it is a blessing. Verse 75 of Psalm 119, David concluded, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and notice this, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now that's mighty. There's David saying that. Lord, even when you afflicted me, you were faithful. Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Why? Because you saw me going astray. You saw me going further away and deeper in the sin. But you in love came and in mercy. You didn't take your hand off me and just let me go off. Rather, you restored me to myself. You brought me low, that all I had to do was call upon you. And I was drawn back. Is there one tonight backslidden? Is there one tonight you've got away from the Lord? You're not praying. You're not reading God's word. You're just going through the motions. You're just turning up in Sunday's day, Sunday by Sunday, prayer meeting by prayer meeting. You're, as it were, just being dragged along. And the Lord is putting you through a challenging time, and you don't know what it is. Is it stress, perplexities, anxiety, being overwhelmed, more pressure, whatever it may be? It just could be the Lord, not all the time, but it just could be this time. The Lord is putting his hand upon you, chastising you to show you, you need to get back to reading the Bible. Get back to praying. God chastens his people to show that he is faithful. Now notice also, God is faithful in answering the prayers of his people. Again, Psalm 143, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. So God always answers prayer. And he always answers prayer in his own time. If he withholds something, he remains faithful, because he will maybe give us it at another time. But God is faithful in answering our prayers. God is faithful in glorifying his people. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, God glorifies his people. He is faithful. He will never go back on his word. He saved you. He will glorify you. He saved you. He will bring you to heaven. He is faithful. See, God must test his people in order for them, for us, to experience the majesty of his greatness. As it has been said, a faith that cannot be tried and tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And so God tests us. God tries us. God puts us in situations to learn to see afresh. He is faithful. And all the things that we have just mentioned, that when we're in temptation, he'll deliver us. When we're committed sin, he'll forgive us. When we're backslidden, he'll restore us. He's faithful in all of this, that we may be able to say like the psalmist in Psalm 89, verse 1, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. God shows himself faithful to you in your situation, whether it's through health, through finances, through provision, whatever it may be, that you'll be able to say to some other dear believer, do you know what? God is faithful, because God's been faithful to me. Wouldn't it be terrible if you were in a situation where you could never be able to tell of God's faithfulness? And that can never be. I don't believe that can ever be for a Christian, because God is always faithful to his people. And so whenever we're witnessing and encouraging other people, younger believers, older believers, people going through hard situations, you can testify of God's faithfulness. God was faithful to me in that situation. God kept his promise. God helped me, and God will do the same for you through all generations. And some of you obviously are a lot older than me, and you've been around the block a good lot of years, decades, generations, and yet you can say God has been faithful to you. And so he is. Psalm 92, verse 2. He shows forth his faithfulness every night. So what a thought that is. God is faithful. And it's seen concerning his person. He is faithful. It's seen concerning his people. But notice finally, the faithfulness of God is seen concerning his purpose. You see, God cannot lie, and God cannot fail at anything or at any time. Therefore, he will never fail in his purposes, and his purposes are as himself, eternal, infinite, and unchanging. Again, let me strengthen it this way. God's purposes, as we just said, are as himself, eternally faithful, infinitely faithful, and unchangeably faithful. His purpose is to build his church. And we learn he will. He said, I will build my church. We learn in Hebrews 6, verse 18, it is impossible for God to lie. So that everything we've just said in this whole message, Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Can you ever lose your salvation? No. Will you ever be in hell? No. Why? Because it's impossible for God to lie. Psalm 138, verse 2, Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. God's faithfulness to his people means the very fact that God cannot lie. What does that mean? It means we are not consumed. Because that's what Jeremiah is saying. Because of his faithfulness, because of his compassions, we are not consumed. Remember, the enemy was coming. God permitted them to be taken into Babylon. But they were not completely destroyed because God said he would bring them out again. And so Jeremiah can say, we are not utterly consumed. Yes, some died when the enemy came, but there was a remnant. And so Jeremiah thinks about that remnant, that group. We are not consumed. The word consumed there means to perish. And so God's faithfulness means his people can never perish. His promises concerning his people will never fail. They will never perish. He will never change concerning his people, concerning his promises, his purposes. While the children of the Lord, we continue in our backsliding. And in Jeremiah's day, the continual rejection of the message. And they deserve to be consumed. And we deserve to perish. Yet because God is faithful, we will never perish. Jeremiah views God's faithfulness as in keeping with his nature. God gave promises concerning the future. And God kept his word. God had sovereign power and right to throw them away, to cast them away. But due to his everlasting covenant of grace, due to himself, due to who he is, his faithfulness, he said in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. On the foundation of who God is, God must honor his word. That's why Jeremiah can say, it is of the Lord's mercies, the Lord's loving kindness, that we are not consumed, that we will not perish. Because of his compassions, his mercy, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There's no doubt about it, as we said. While we seek to be faithful to God, as possible for a saved sinner to do, yet our faithfulness is mutable. That means our faithfulness can change and does change. Like Peter, we may deny the Lord. Or like his disciples, we may forsake the Lord at times. And we are unfaithful to him. We make promises that we don't keep. Yet God is never unfaithful to us. He always keeps his promises. He will never go back on his word. And while the devil continually lays charge against the sin of God's people, and continually brings back our fallings and our failings, yet the Lord will never destroy us, and we will never perish. That was the point, remember, in Numbers chapter 23, when Balak, the king of Moab, he purposed to destroy Israel, not by military warfare, but by the means of the wicked ministry of a false prophet named Balaam. And he wanted Balaam to curse the people of God, put a curse upon them. However, Balaam said in Numbers 23, verse 8, How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? In other words, he could not undo the blessing of God. Notice he said, verse 20 of Numbers 23, He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has seen perverseness in Israel. And the whole point of this is that whenever God views his people, he does not see sin in them. Rather, he sees the precious blood. He sees they are pardoned. He sees they are forgiven. And his blessing can never be reversed. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What is it? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish or should not be consumed, but have everlasting life. And so God, when God looks upon you, he does not see any sin, any iniquity in you. It's been perfectly forgiven, perfectly pardoned, because of his compassions, because of his faithfulness. We are not consumed. We will not perish. And therefore, Satan's accusations are dismissed. Micah chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. The very fact anyone will be in heaven is due to God's faithfulness. He has promised in Christ to save a people, and he will never go back on his word. His people will be saved. There's no lack in God. Christ died for the purpose to purchase eternal life, that his people will be with him. Again, John 14, verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And God will be faithful to that promise in Christ, that Christ will come for his people, come for you, and you will be with him. He's faithful. God will never reload the guilt and punishment of sin upon one where the blood of Christ has been applied. God never refunds to sinners their sin who Christ has paid the debt in full. Our sins have been covered. They've been washed beneath the precious blood. Therefore, we are not consumed. Surely we could say like Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. And God's faithfulness is seen concerning his person, who he is. He is faithful. Absolutely faithful. Eternally, infinitely, unchangeably faithful. Faithful in his love, in his truth, his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness. Everything. He is faithful concerning his people. He'll forgive us our sin. He's faithful in answering our prayers. And he is faithful concerning his purposes. He entered into a covenant with his Son to die for people, secure deliverance for them, and to bring them home to glory. And he is faithful in his promises. What a mighty God we serve. The faithfulness of God. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen. We'll just close in prayer, and then the camera will go off. Our Heavenly Father, eternal God, we thank thee for thy great faithfulness. And Lord, we rejoice because thou art faithful. We will never be consumed. Lord, we will never perish. We rejoice we're safe and secure in the arms of Christ. Lord, bless us. Now we pray this night in Jesus' name. Amen.